Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here, Mr. Rob Center on the other side of the glass. He is why, when our current guest is finished, you'll be able to go to the WKOK podcast page and say, let's listen to what movie Mike McGranahan had to say. Professional movie critic, his website, aisleseat.com, and he's a staff writer for Ranker, and he is a member of the Critics' Choice Association. So when you hear a lot lately about them, they're doing all kinds of things. Their documentary awards are out now, and really anything from the Critics' Choice Association, Mike's a member thereof and is really helping to make sure that they stay contemporary. His appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org. Welcome aboard, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Happy Friday.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much. So let's start out with your review of Dune.
Dune is based on the classic Frank Herbert science fiction novel that's so complex it literally comes with its own glossary. Leisure time reading is supposed to be fun, but apparently the author thought it should entail work. Normally at this point in a review, I would describe the plot, but to be perfectly honest, I have no clue what was going on in this movie. In an apparent effort to simplify the material, the filmmakers have opted to just not explain who anyone is or why any of them care so deeply about some planet whose surface is made up of a valuable spice. If you haven't read the book, you'll probably be as lost as I was. There's an all-star cast, including Timothée Chalamet, Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, and Zendaya. They get to wear funny-looking costumes and wander around massive sets, spouting empty but very self-serious dialogue. This goes on for 155 minutes that feel like 155 hours, at which point Dune ends with what's essentially a cliffhanger. That's right, this is only half the book, which means it's all set up for the sequel, which will be released 2 years from now. And let me tell you, sitting through all that confusing nonsense and then not getting any resolution at the end is a real treat. Fans of the novel may well like Dune, but newcomers are likely to have the same reaction I did: mind-crushing boredom. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5 sandworms.
Well, I saw that it's rare that I see a new movie, but my lovely bride and I did watch that. Now, she thought it was okay, but she loves science fiction and loved the book, okay?
Okay.
I saw the movie. I walked out about halfway through. I just couldn't take it anymore.
It's boring.
I just thought, where is all this headed?
Yeah. There's no dramatic thrust to this movie.
Anyway,
there's nothing that hooks you in and makes you care about the characters or makes you care about the situations. It's just a ponderous film.
Why didn't this work? I mean, this is supposedly a great science fiction book. Now, I haven't read the book, but folks who are fans of sci-fi books say that's the cat's meow, but put it on the screen. I mean, I just thought everything, it was so obvious. They almost did an aside to the movie where they said, oh, Hennekins are a people that you'll hear a lot more about later, and they are extremely aggressive, but they do have one element that might be interesting in peace. You know, almost as an aside, you know, these little definitions and things they would stick in of different peoples and planets and things.
Yeah, that was the problem. They spent way more time focused on the look of the film, which is magnificent, and that's why I gave it 1.5 instead of just 1. More time spent on the look of the film than on characterization or storytelling. And again, if you've read the book, you have a lot of the holes filled in, so you probably could enjoy it. You would know the deeper meaning of what's going on. But if you haven't read it, this movie just has no drama to it. It just kind of moves along at a very flat, slow pace. Nothing ever happens that pulls you in or gets you really excited. It just sits up there on the screen. It's great to look at, but man, I had trouble staying awake during this.
Right, and you see some elements of what could be a love story pop out, but then they pull the rug out on that. Then you see the elements of what could be a young leader emerging, but then he gets knocked back. So
yeah, and it's kind of like the first Lord of the Rings, although that was a much better film. At the end of the first Lord of the Rings movie, you at least had some sense of closure for that particular film. It ended with them saying, okay, now we're going to go on the quest to throw the ring into the volcano. This movie ends the same way, but there's no resolution. It's just a lot of setup, and at the end of the movie, it's like, okay, now the quest is going to begin, but we have to wait 2 years to see that. And by that point, I can guarantee you, I am not going to remember anything that happened in this movie.
All right, so 1.5?
Sandworms.
Oh, sandworms, right, so those big creatures. Okay.
It's not perfect, but stick with the David Lynch version from the 80s that had Sting in it. That's a better movie than this one.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Oh, geez, I barely remember that. But yeah, I thought this was a remake. Okay, good. Yeah, visually, it's really quite interesting. I'd love to see it in, what do they call it, the cinema?
IMAX.
IMAX, yeah, that would be interesting to see with all the special effects and so on. So it's done well in that regard. So, okay, so 1.5 sandworms there. You also have a mini review of two other things that are new this week. Well, actually, we should say Dune is in theaters.
In theaters and on HBO Max.
HBO Max, okay. Yeah, I saw it at home. Ron's Gone Wrong.
Yeah, this is an animated movie aimed at families, and unfortunately, it really didn't do well at the box office, which is a shame, because it's a very charming movie, and kids will laugh at it, parents will love the premise, but it's about a world where this gizmo has been created. It's like a personal assistant that's mobile, and it customizes itself to the person who owns it, and all the kids have one, and it's basically affected their social lives. Kids don't play with each other anymore, they play with their gizmos, and the movie is about one kid who doesn't have one, the only kid at his school who doesn't have one. His dad buys him one that fell off the back of a truck and is damaged, and so now he's got one, but it's defective, and it's about how he learns to make friends with this computer device and how that leads him to realize he needs to make friends with other human beings. So it has a great message about putting down your devices and going and playing with other kids instead of looking at a screen all the time. It's very funny, very charming. Ron's Gone Wrong, I highly recommend it for families.
All right. And that is in theaters?
In theaters only.
Oh, only. Okay. All right. And also, My Hero Academia, World Heroes Mission.
Yes, that opens today in theaters only. And this is another film version of the popular My Hero Academia series, which is a great big anime series. People who are not into anime probably have no clue what any of that means. But if you are into anime or are at least somewhat familiar with it, you've probably heard of it. But in this one, there's an evil villain who has planted a series of chemical bombs at various spots around the world that will eliminate heroes, meaning people who have special abilities and special powers and use them to help the general population. And so the characters from this high school that train superheroes, they all have to go and try to defuse these bombs and bring down the bad guy. My knowledge of My Hero Academia is extended to the fact that I saw the previous film in this series, and I've seen this one, and I like both of them. It's a really interesting movie. The animation is terrific. It's in that anime style, that hand-drawn 2D animation. A lot of action in the movie, some humor, some heart. So if you're into anime, I do recommend My Hero Academia, World Heroes Mission. 3 stars for that.
All right. And do they have broad appeal? You know, if this movie does exceedingly well, how will it penetrate the box office?
It'll do well. You know, these movies, there's a company called Funimation, which is owned by Sony Pictures, and they release these movies in theaters in kind of a special, limited format. Starts off for first week, it's just kind of a special engagement, and then often they go into normal release. But they have had phenomenal success releasing these movies in the last couple years. The last My Hero Academia movie did very well at the box office. There was a Dragon Ball Z movie before that was a sleeper hit, did extremely well. So there is a core audience out there for these movies, and even though mainstream audiences don't necessarily know what they are, the fans do, and they turn out in big numbers.
And they don't cost a gazillion dollars to make, I wouldn't think. I mean, a lot of voiceover and a lot of animation, but some of that can be done with computers.
Yeah, and they're worldwide phenomenons. They can release these movies all around the globe. There's fans everywhere. So, yes, they can be very profitable for the filmmakers.
All right, so that is My Hero Academia, World Heroes Mission. What, about 3 or 3.5?
3 stars for that one.
Three,
and 3 stars for Ron's Gone Wrong.
All right, super. And they're only in theaters.
Yes.
All right, box office totals. How's the box office doing? We've had a couple home runs lately.
Yeah, I mean, Dune opened very well. It opened to $40 million, which is kind of interesting because it's not a bad take in the pandemic, but you look at something like Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which opened to $90 million this weekend. So It's all a little bit relative, but that was enough to get Warner Brothers to greenlight Dune Part 2. The franchise movies continue to do well. Halloween Kills is out there. The James Bond movie is still doing pretty well. We got a new Marvel movie coming out next week, Eternals. That'll do well. So, again, people are turning out for the big event movies. Anything that is not part of a brand, like a Marvel or a James Bond, is not doing particularly well. But anything that is branded, people are turning out for.
Okay. Well, maybe that'll be the new normal, you know, minus other theaters kind of thing. Or you'll have to go on weekday mornings or weekday afternoons to see some of the other films that you might want to see at the theater. Okay. Any other new movies out? We talked about Dune, Ron's Gone Wrong, My Hero Academia. Anything else?
Yeah, we got new movies this weekend. We have Last Night in Soho, which is a horror film from Edgar Wright, the guy who directed Baby Driver and Shaun of the Dead. That looks really promising. Another horror movie called Antlers that is said to be very creepy. And then there's a drama about postpartum depression called A Mouthful of Air, starring Amanda Seyfried. So those are all new in theaters this weekend, along with My Hero Academia.
Oh, okay. So we'll keep an eye on those, either on streaming or at the theaters. Entertainment news, of course. There's every one story has taken all the air in the room. Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, the latest shocking development in that is that it was a real bullet in the gun that he fired. And right now, investigators are trying to figure out how a live round ever got onto a film set, because, of course, that is forbidden. And it's a real mystery why that happened, but they're currently looking into it. And the police detectives in charge say that at this point, no one has been cleared. That, you know, Alec Baldwin, even though it appears it was an accident and he did not know, they are not clearing anybody from charges yet. They are, however, focused on the first assistant director, who's in charge of safety, and the armorer, who's in charge of the gun. So those two people in particular are under a lot of scrutiny right now, although Alec Baldwin not out of the woods yet.
Okay.
Because he is one of the producers on the film, so therefore he could be liable in that sense.
Bill Murray's going MCU? Wow.
Yeah, it was announced this week that Bill Murray is joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He says that he has a role in the next Ant-Man and the Wasp movie. Says he's glad he participated in a Marvel movie. He doesn't feel the need to do it again, but you will be able to see him in the MCU.
All right, and the Critics' Choice Awards, you'll be able to see them when and on what channels?
Yeah, it was announced this week. Our ceremony, which is January 9th, the Critics' Choice Awards, will be simulcast on both the CW Network and TBS. So you will have two places to see our awards for film and television.
Why is it important to have both, if you happen to know that answer?
It expands our audience.
Okay, more people watch.
More viewers.
Right, and you're not on ABC, NBC, or CBS yet.
Right.
But that could change.
Fingers
in
crossed.
The months ahead. Yeah, holy smokes, you guys got a lot of momentum. Critics' Choice Association, of which Mike McGranahan, Movie Mike, as he's known around here, is a member. Aisleseat.com is his website, is a parent sponsor of the Campus Theater, campustheater.org. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.